course, older than the Bavli, but since it was not studied very as regularly as the Bavli, so therefore the primary problem is that all the Girsos in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are messed up. And I mean that you'll see that the language of the Yerushalmi, generally speaking, is not as well sifted and as well corrected as the language in the Bavli. The Bavli, all the Rishonim, many of the Achronim, dealt with what the proper Girsa should be, and we have no Rishonim on the Yerushalmi. So therefore, since that is the case, the Perushim on the side of the Daf in the Yerushalmi are all late. The earliest one on that page is from the 17th century. The Sefer Charedim is from the 17th century. The others are from the 18th and 19th century. So we really have no Rishonim on the Yerushalmi. In the back of the Yerushalmi, in the Vilna edition, which is the one I photocopied for you, you have, they collected some Rishonim who speak in their works on the Bavli about the Yerushalmi as well. But really, there's nothing written by the Rishonim, which we have, which pertains directly to Yerushalmi. There were a couple of Rishonim wrote, but their works are lost. That's the major problem with the Yerushalmi, the fact that the Girsos are different. Also, Yerushalmi is more terse, and Yerushalmi is written in a different dialect of Aramaic than the Bavli. So all these make the Yerushalmi somewhat significantly different than the Bavli. Other than that, there's not much else to say. It is a Gemara. It's not Zohar. It reads just like a regular Gemara and talks just about the same topics. And it is exciting to learn. The problem, since all the Girsos are messed up, is that one has to very often be creative. And I happened to be looking through the Yeshiva's library, looking at the various different forms, and I found, for instance, this Sefer, which is written in the early 1900s by the chief rabbi of Pittsburgh, Rabbi Moshe Sivitz. And the Chofetz Chaim wrote about this Sefer that Kimi Balode Sefer Mashbiach I Evshar Lilmod Ulohovinas Yerushalmi. Without this Sefer written in Pittsburgh in the 1900s, you can't understand the Yerushalmi. So there must be some moral to that story. Not sure exactly what, but it is quite a good Sefer. And I'll quote it later this evening. And without any further ado, let's begin. Memosai Kodesh Ma'barvin. From when do you read Shema Barvin? Now, of course, in the Bavli, the Nusach is Barvis, right? And here it says Baravin, which is actually, according to the Pnei Maraponim, which is the Pnei Moshe's Tosfos, I should say, but introduce you a little bit to who is here on the blot. You have here the Pnei Moshe, which is was actually somebody who was briefly acquainted with the Gra, was one of the Gra's Rebbe for a short period of time. Legend has it that he was the Gra's Rebbe when he was six, and the Gra had no Rebbeim afterwards. He was the only one who the Gra had a Rebbe. That's the Pnei Moshe, and the Maraponim is a Tosfos written by the same individual. The Pnei Moshe is the Rashi, and Maraponim is the Tosfos. The Perish Mizbal Sefer Charedim, the author of the Sefer Charedim, was a mystic in Tzfas in the I believe the late 17th century, if I'm not mistaken. And below that you have, I'm not sure the Chedushi Radayas, but the Rami Graditz is Rabbi Elia Gutmacher, a late 19th century Achron, a very distinguished one. I don't know who the Amudei Yerushalayim is either. It says, I'm sure, on the Shaar blot. Many of these Masechtas will have the Perush of the Ridbaz. The Ridbaz, of course, is well known for having been the one and only chief rabbi of Chicago. And that we'll see when we get into the Zroi Masechtas after Brachos. In fact, I found a fascinating thing. I found also in the Yeshiva's library, there was a book written in 1887 by a Rabbi Alperstein, who was a rabbi in Chicago. And the book was published in Chicago on the Yerushalmi, Masechta Bikurim. So, I don't know who he was saying Shia to back then, but he did sit here and write a Sefer on Masechta Bikurim. All right. Let's get back to the Mishnah. Ve'emasai kore shema ba'arvin. From when there was one read shema in the evenings, mishua shakwanim nichrasim lucha b'chumusan, from the time that the kwanim come in to eat in their truma, atzov ha'shmeros rishon, until the end of the first watch. David Rabbi Elazar, that's Rabbi Elazar's opinion. But Chomarin Chatzos, Chomarin say no, it's until Chatzos, until midnight. You don't get the only till the end of the first watch. The first watch, of course, is when we know from the Bavli, is the first third of the evening, right? Which is, say, on an equinox day from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Rather, you get until Chatzos. You have the entire evening until morning breaks. It occurred once that the children of Rabbi Gamliel came from a party. They said to him, "Lo karinu shma, we didn't read shma yet, and it was after midnight." So he said to them, "If it is not yet come to be dawn, chayovim atem likros, you have to read the shma." Not only this, anytime Chachamim said it was only until you can only read until midnight, the mitzvah really does continue until Amud HaShachar, and if you miss the midnight deadline, you will continue to do it subsequently. Hekter Chalovim, so too, you have the case of Hekter Chalovim, putting the fat and avarim and limbs on the Mizbeach, the mitzvah is until daybreak. Anything which could be eaten for one day, in other words, there's a halacha that certain korbanos can only be eaten during a day and in this following night. We know that by kochin, the night follows the day. In other words, by the normal Jewish calendar affairs, the day follows the night, right? Tonight is Hey Adar Beis, even though today was Dalet. By korbanos, however, very often the night follows the day. You get the right to eat the korban for a day and then a following night. So therefore, in this case, even though Chachamim said it's best to do it before Chatzos, you have the right to do it to Amud HaShachar. So if that's the case, why did Chazal say only up to Chatzos? In order to make sure a person does not do the Avera of leaving over the kochim meat until after daybreak, in which case he transgresses the avera of what? If he leaves it after daybreak? Of no sir, right, of leaving over till the following morning. Okay, that's it. That's the Mishnah. Now let's start the Gemara. Yes?
General question. This is not exactly the same Mishnah as the one.
No, there are differences, right.
So how?
This is a very interesting question you're raising. I should address it. The Rambam says that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote down the Mishnayos. Rashi holds that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi did not write down the Mishnayos. He edited them. They were still Baal Peh. And therefore, there were still various different subtle differences which occurred in the text in Israel as opposed to in Babylon. So therefore, the text of the Yerushalmi, yes, is very often different than the text of the Bavli, because even if they did write it down, still there were differences. But besides, certainly if it was not written down, there was quite likely the potential that the Mishnayos would be different. So yes, that is the case. Very often you'll find differences between the Mishnayos in the Bavli, Mishnayos in Yerushalmi. And it's not just a typo. Okay?
Now we're kind of only addictive or just the letter level about it.
You mean in substance?
Yeah, right, nothing in substance.
We haven't learned enough Yerushalmi to know. We've only learned one Mishnah so far.
Yeah.
Okay? Aratz Ninan, we learn. We have literally learned in our Mishnah. Mishasha Kwaim Nichnosim Lucho B'Trumosan. From the time the Kwaim come in to eat their Truma. Tai Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia had a different time, which is considered the time when the time for Shema begins. It's at the time when people come in to eat their evening meal, in other words, the first meal of Friday night of Shabbos. V'taniyula, and we learn concerning this, that Kroimin Divrem Liyoshur. Oh, wait. We learn concerning this. It says that the time of Rabbi Chia and the time in the Mishnah are times which are similar to each other, right? They're almost the same time. So it says, well, wait a minute, let's see if that's true. Isa Chame, come and see. Now, this is the Isa Chame is the Yushami's version of which? Right, of Tashma.
But
In the Bavli, we have Tosh Ma, come in here. Here we have Isa Chamei, which is come and see. Mishua Shekhanim Nichnasim Lechol Utrumasim. So although it's a Toshma, it's not really a, it's really, we're not going to quote a Brisa. We're going to look at the logic of these two statements and see if they are indeed comparable. Isa Chamei, come and see. Mishua Shekhanim Nichnasim Lechol Utrumasim, from the time when the Kohanim come to eat in their Truma Yimamo, it was day, but now Vimkoch Vayo, it's night. In other words, it's immediately after nightfall. They can go meet their Truma immediately after nightfall, right after the Yomama, right after the day is passed. How it says the Gemara, Mishor Shederach Ne'odom Nichnasim Lechol Pitom B'Leil Shabbos. However, the time when people come to eat their food Friday night, Shavitarti Leliyahu, it's an hour or two into the night. So the Mefarshim bring down, in the old days, they used to listen to drushas Friday night. Amazing, huh? They used to listen to drushas. It's not in the Bavli, only in the Yerushalmi. They used to listen to drushas in Shul Friday night. They used to come home and eat late. So they used to come home and eat late. So therefore, it can't be the same time. It's an hour or two different. How can you say they're comparable? So says the Gemara, Vata Mait Kovim Divrem Leo Shavin. How can you say that they're the same? It's not true. So I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said tipater literally means resolve it. And it means, we'll explain in the following case. Bilan Kufurnaya Dikikaya. It's talking about small towns, right? Small towns is, the dock is thin, but here it means small. Dur Chehon Mistalka Adahava Yimama. The highways are desolate while it's still day. The tzadi lahon mikamichyusa. Because they clear out the paths, they make it empty, they go quickly home because they're afraid of wild animals. So in those small cities, you have the scenario in which they're going to be home Friday night much earlier. So since they're going to be home Friday night much earlier, so therefore, that case, there, to the time which is mentioned by Bechia, if you assume you're talking about the small cities, so that's the small, same time as Shor Asher HaKohanim Nichnasim Lechol B'Trumasan. In the big cities, it's in Droshes. Yes.
What does Elin mean?
Elin means, it's like the Hebrew word Be'elah. In those, or in these. Now, the pshat I gave you is a beautiful pshat. It's not in the Pnei Moshe. It's not in any of the Mefarshim on the page. It's basically one I made up with a little bit of help from the Rosh Siraleo. But there's a fascinating pshat in the Mashbiach. Rabbi Sivitz has a fascinating pshat. Rabbi Sivitz says, he has an online premise. This is difficult. Rabbi Chia was time. I believe it was Rabbi Chia, right? Rabbi Chia was the one who said, "Mishosh derfniyam nichosel chobitam b'leil Shabbos." So he's talking about how what time they used to come and eat in the little rinky-dink towns, right? It's a very, very difficult benchmark on which to base your shiur of when it says a kochavim, when they would come to eat in little kishtetla. So he says a very interesting thing. He says, no, this is the way to understand it. He says, "Be'ilin kufranaya dikikaya." He says, in those cities where they used to raise sheep, and he has a raya in Aramaic, dikikaya means sheep. The truth is, if you think about it, even in Hebrew, behema daka, right, means small animals, means sheep. So they raise a sheep. Durchol cheo mistalka doha ahava yimama. Ve'pril urcheon is Aramaic, sometimes for meal, for food. So they prepare their food from before Shabbos. However, once Shabbos begin, the tzadi lo mekami chiyusa. When once Shabbos begins, they still have the work of feeding all their animals before they sit down to eat. Because it's halach, you're not allowed to sit down to eat before you give your animals. So he says, really in the big cities, itake is the same, they itake eat immediately after it says. They don't have any drushes. They didn't eat immediately. And that's the same time as Shor Asher HaKohanim Nichnasim Lechol B'Trumasan. Here it's talking about a city in which they have a lot of sheep. their shepherds. Since their shepherds, they got a lot of work feeding the animals first when they get home on Friday afternoon, Friday night, and therefore they are the ones who don't go to sit down to eat until an hour or two into the night. We don't look at them. We look at the similarity between a big city and the case of the kohanim coming in to eat their truma. Okay, Tani, we learned in a brisa, HaKoyre Koydim Lochein, somebody who reads prior to Tzeisa Kochavim, Lo Yotzei Dechavaso, did not fulfill his obligation. In Kain, if that's the case, and this Yerushalmi appears in Tzeisus on the first Omen in Brachas in the Bavli, he says, In Kain, Loma Koyne Oso Beisa Knesses, why do we reach Man Shul? If you're not Yotzei in Shul, you have to read it over when you get home after Tzeisa Kochavim, so why bother staying in the Shul? What's the point? So says, and when I tell you why, I'm Rabbi Yossi, ain't koyin oso bebeis haknesses, b'shvil lotz yisidei chavoso, you don't read in shul in order to fulfill your obligation, rather el kadei lamod b'tfilu mitoch dover shul Torah. You read it in shul in order to be able to daven after having learned some Torah first. So therefore, we learn, when we read Shema in shul, according to the Yerushalmi, we're doing it for the same reason we say Ashrei before Mincha. Why do we say Ashrei before Mincha? In order not to start Shmon Esrei cold, in order to say some Divrei Torah first. So too, according to the Yerushalmi, the same thing is true about when we daven Marav, we want to start off first through the Kriya Shema in order to enter into Marav with a sense of coming from Divrei Torah. So it's interesting, the Mefarshim speak about this. How can you make brachas? You know, the Birkos Kriya Shema seem to have to do with Kriya Shema, not with learning Torah. So it's questionable how we can make the Birkos Kriya Shema if the whole basis is learning Torah. Alright, so it is a difficult issue, but the Yerushalmi doesn't address it. It seems from the Yerushalmi that even with the brachas, it's all part of the Kori Batorah. And that works as well, and you later on, we know, even though we do repeat Shema, we don't repeat the brachas subsequently. Okay, now once we're on this topic here, says the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Zeira b'shem Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Zeira, said name Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Zeira is Rabbi Zeira. So it's in Bavel it's called Zeira, and in Eretz Yisrael it's called Rabbi Zeira.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
So according to that statement of the Yerushalmi.
Yes.
So why do we have the other brachos of Mari?
Well, I my assumption is that they made the brachos of Maariv for a case where you were davening at the right time. Then, since it was not possible, so it was not feasible for anybody to daven at the right time, people davening before Tzeis, they left the brachos intact. What would be the rationale? That it's lo pluk, right? And since we Shema is a good thing to daven anyway, because of Kori B'Torah, so they left the brachos intact. And in juxtaposition to the yes. For Shema is Kikar B'Torah, right? But there, there's Takash Shailan Halacha. No, it's Takash Shailan Halacha. If you davening after 4 hours, it's not clear that you say Birkos Kriya Shema. We generally accept the Pesachas that you do, but it's not so simple. So if you want to draw a parallel to that case, then you do have that issue. In fact, there are those poskim who say not to say the Birkos Kriya Shema after 4 hours, only to say Shema and then to daven immediately Shema Nesrei.
And those who say do.
What?
And those who hold that you do.
Those who hold you do, and that would be consistent with the Pashup Shani Ushami. Yeah. Okay. So says the Gemara. Now, Rabbi Zeira b'shem Rabbi Yirmiya, Safik b'recha mezoino. If it's a Safik, if you made a bracha on your food, Safik lo b'recha, Safik if you didn't make a bracha, we're talking about Birkos HaMozon. Tzorech l'vorech. If you have a Safik, if you made Birkos HaMozon or not, we paskin, you have to make the bench, d'chsiva chalto v'savato v'erachto. You ate, you were satiated, you have to bless God. That's a Safik d'oraisa, because the chiyuv of benching is d'oraisa, and Safik brachos l'chumra, therefore you have to bench. Safik ispalo, Safik lo ispalo. If you have a Safik whether you davened or didn't daven, I ispalo. Don't daven over again. Uvlok Rabbi Yochanan. This is not like Rabbi Yochanan. Dom Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had a perspective. Rabbi Yochanan said, halavai, a person should daven the entire day. Why did Rabbi Yochanan have such a perspective? Because he said, nothing wrong with davening as much as you possibly can. So it's interesting, though, the Gemara again doesn't address, the Gemara sidesteps the question of, what about brachas? Because if you got the daven Shemoneh Esrei, you could daven Shemoneh Esrei again with the brachas. So the truth is, yes, there is such a concept, although we don't do it anymore, the concept of tefillas nedava, of davening a voluntary tefillah. Just like in the Chazal and say, just like you could bring a voluntary korban, right? So too you can daven a voluntary tefillah, even with brachos. So therefore, when Rabbi Yochanan is saying, "Levai shispal adam kol yom kula," now we don't do it because we're afraid that we're not going to have proper kavana, it's not warranted. So therefore, we don't do it. But there is possibility of being mispal the entire day. Many tefillos nedava, yes.
Within Shemoneh Esrei, if we're not sure if we said a specific bracha,
you go back to that bracha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you're not sure if you daven the entire Shemoneh Esrei, then you go, don't go back. Again, I assume the rationale is that since it's only Safek the Rabbanan, so therefore it's Lakula, right? If you're middle Shemoneh Esrei, my hunch is that, although I don't remember exactly to tell you why, but my hunch is that in middle Shemoneh Esrei it's different because you haven't finished davening yet. But after davening, Safek the Rabbanan Lakula.
Isn't the nature of Shemoneh Esrei itself a machlokas rishonim, is whether it's deraisa derabbanan?
Well, no. There's a question as to machlokas, let me just go back to this question. Now that my memory is jogged, I think if you didn't have, it's only if you're not sure if you said a bracha, but you didn't have kavana, you don't go back.
If you
didn't say a bracha, yeah. Now, there's Machlokas Rambam and Ramban, whether the Chiv of Davening is the Raisa or not.
Right.
But everybody agrees that Shemoneh Esrei itself is the Rabbana. According to one of them, I forgot which one, the Chiv of Davening itself is the Raisa, but the form of the Tfilos is the Rabbana. According to the other opinion, even the Chiv to Daven itself is the Raisa, is the Rabbana. But everybody holds that the form of Tfilos is the Rabbana. The question is whether the Chiyuv Lispalel, the requirement to daven, if that's the Derais of the Rabbana.
But according to this, Sofik Ispalel, Sofik Lo Ispalel, Al Yispalel.
Yes.
That seems to be in accordance with the view that if you say that Tfila is the Rabbana,
right. So, but everybody holds it's the Rabbana.
You said only the form. The question.
No. I obviously wasn't clear. I obviously didn't make myself clear. And davening three times a day is also the Rabbanan.
I'm talking about Shemoneh Esrei one time a day.
Right.
I think it's the Ramban who says it's.
I don't think so. I think it's only one of them. Let's say it's Ramban, holds that it's a chiyuv to daven once a day. But I don't think it's the daven the Shemoneh Esrei necessarily to daven a davening once a day. That's what I believe the case is.
Really?
Yeah. But you should check up on me. I'm pretty sure that's the case. But it would be in the Sefer Mitzvos where the Ramban argues on the Rambam. Okay. Says the Gemara. Safik kar, safik lo kar. What if you have a safik, if you read Shema or not? Nishmini may not do. Let's learn out from the following case. Hakoyre. Excuse me?
Say that again. Means
let's learn it out. Nishmeine, let's derive it. Literally, let's hear it. Min hada from the following case. Hakori kodem lachein lo yotzi dechavaso. It says if you read Shema prior to the time mentioned in our Mishnah, which we just said in that bright over for before, it said lo yotzi dechavaso, not yotzi. So it says more. Wait a minute. That's a very strong statement. V'lav. Recording lachain lav safiku. Not before tzeis. What if comes before tzeis? Before nightfall, bein hashmashos. So twilight should at least be a safik, right? So if it's a safik, how can you say with certainty lo yotzi dechavoso? How can you say for sure that he wasn't yotzi at that time? So says the Gemara. Again, v'kodem l'chein lav safiku v'ata marta tzorech likros, and you're saying that you nonetheless, even though you read the Shema at a time when it was a safek, that you have to read it over again. It must be hador amaro. This tells us, in Hebrew we would say sosomeris. Adamra sosomeris. This tells us safek kara safek lo kara. If you have a safek whether you read Shema or not, tzarech likros, you have to read Shema. Similar dover. And that's of course is by the way because Shema is what? The raisa. B'shach b'chov kamecha tzachiv the raisa. Similar, okay, period. Similar dover. Now, the Yerushalmi has the custom of abruptly switching topics. And now we shall do that. Similar dover. The time, now normally simon in the Bavli would mean a sign. But here it means the time when, well, yeah, I guess it also means a sign. The sign of when is it nightfall? Similar dover, mishiyotzo kochavim. How do we know it's nightfall? When the stars come out. And that's really what our Mishnah doesn't mention Tzeitzot Kochavim, but that really is the time in our Mishnah, is when the stars come out. So the stars are assuming that it's nightfall. The stars is very important. Stars are not night. The stars are assuming that it's nightfall. Tzeitzot Kochavim is not synonymous with Lila. Tzeitzot Kochavim is a sign that the night that the sky is sufficiently dark to be called night. Okay, so says the Gemara.
What size star are you looking at? If it's a sign, what would you say? What size star are you looking at?
Right, that's what we're going to talk about now, the size of the star. So it says, "Vavo b'shein raila dover." Even though we don't have explicit proof for this, zeila dover, we have a pasuk which alludes to this matter. Where do we have such a pasuk? It says, "Vanachnu osim b'malacha." When they were rebuilding Yerushalayim, they say we were doing the work. V'chetzi amachzikim b'ramachim, and half of us were holding spears. In other words, some of us were doing the work, and some of us were holding spears to protect. We are doing the work from Alosa Shachar, from the dawn until Tzeisa Kochavim, until the stars came out. Uksivin, it says later on, it says that the night was for us a time for watch, and the day a time for work. So we see by virtue of the fact that they didn't work at night, and they called night Tzeisa Kochavim, that when does night begin? Night falls with Tzeisa Kochavim. Okay? V'kama kochavim yetzu v'yelaila. How many stars have to come out that it should be night? Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Abba bar Papa says, kochav echad v'adayom. If you see one star, it's certainly still day. Shnaim, if you see two stars, safik laila. You're not sure if it's night. Shalosh v'aday laila. When you see three, it's definitely night. Now, what's the derivation of this? Ask the Yerushalmi. Shnaim safek, when you see two, it's only a safek. How can you say this? V'aksiv, doesn't it say, at seiso kochavim? Seiso kochavim means how many?
Two.
Minimum two. So why require three? Says Mara, I'll tell you why. El miyut kochavim shnaim. It's true that that a minimum of plural stars is two. However, kadmaya lo mischashiv. The first star doesn't count. Because we said that when you see the first star, it's vadayom. So what does Seiso Kochavim mean? Night stars. What are night stars? The first two stars. Okay? So Seiso Kochavim is the first two night stars. Okay? Shnayim maybe. So that, now let's see it inside. Since that's the true, we derive the following principle. Be'erev Shabbos is very cool. On Erev Shabbos, if you saw one star, v'asa malacha, and then you did work, potter. Of course, you're not chayev. Why? Because you did work during daytime. There's only one star. Shnaim, if you saw two stars, maybe Oshem Toli. then it's Suffolk Yom Suffolk Lila. So since it's Suffolk Yom Suffolk Lila, you don't know. So therefore, you're bringing Ashram Toli. Ashram Toli means when you bring, when you're not sure if you're transgressing Issa or not. Shlosha, if you saw three stars and then you did work on Friday night, maybe Chatos. Then, of course, you bring Chatos because you transgressed Shabbos. Now, vice versa. B'motzoi Shabbos, motzoi Shabbos, rokoi chavechot, you saw one star of also melacha, and you did melacha after that one star, maybe Chatos. You have to bring Chatos. Shnayim, if you see two stars, you're not sure if it's night or if it's night or not, maybe Hashem Toli. Then you bring, if you did work then you're, it's questionable whether you transgress Shabbos or not, so you're bringing Ashram Toli. You're bringing Ashram, which comes when you're Mesupuk. Shlosha, if you saw three stars and then you did work, then Patra. Okay, all this is Pasha, right? Now he comes up with a complicated case. Rabbi Yossi Bar Brun, who in the Bible is called Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin, boy. He asked the following question. Boy is to ask a question. In Tamar, which is Hebrew's Im Tomar, if you say Shnaim Safek, that two stars is a Safek, what about the following case? This is a very cool case. Rosh Neko Chavim, Be'erev Shabbos. You saw two stars in Erev Shabbos. For Yitzhubo, they warned you, don't do Malacha. Vasa. Malacha. He did Malacha. Then he saw two stars on Motzoi Shabbos. V'hitru, and again, V'hitru bo, they warned you. V'asa melacha, and you did work anyway. Manavshach, Yechayev, it's a catch 22, right? Why is it me manavshach? In other words, no matter which way you look at it, you must be chayev. If the first time it was day, then in other words, when Erev Shabbos, when he saw two stars, if that was day, then the next day it's also day. So you potter on the work you did Friday, but you chayev on the work you did on Shabbos. If the second script, right? V'yechayev on the lat on Shabbos' work. If the later stars are, I'm sorry. The next case. Imachronim laila. And if on the other hand, on Motzei Shabbos when he did the work, it was night, because two stars is night. Well, then we zap you for Friday night, right? Because then. Right. After Yishayim Laila, Yechayev or Yishayim Yechayev on the first stars. Rosh Neko Chavim Be'erev Shabbos. If you saw two stars on Erev Shabbos, that's one case. Next case, Rosh Neko Chavim Be'erev Shabbos.
So what they're going to try to do is just
no, just saying over cases.
Yeah, but the onus is just going to be chorus.
No, you're a skila. They gave you a straw.
Yeah. Don't
know Karish Kabasa Khatas. There's no Asra, there ain't even Asra, we're gonna stone you to death. Okay? Now what about the following case? The following case is still even more complicated. Rosh Neko Chavim Be'erev Shabbos. You saw two stars on Friday, V'katzer Kechatzi Gruez, and you harvested a half a date worth, which is half this year. B'shachris, the next morning, which is certainly Shabbos, v'katzar chatzi grogeres, then he harvested another half a day worth. Rosh nekochavi motzoi Shabbos, and then he saw two more stars in motzoi Shabbos, v'katzar chatzi grogeres, and then he harvested another half a date. Get it? Half a date. Right, two stars Friday night, half a day Shabbos morning, half a day Motzoi Shabbos again by two stars. So says the Gemara, we're for sure going to give you a skila, a chatos, koris, whatever in this case. Manavshach. Again, it's going to work out no matter which way you look at it. if the first ones are daytime, which means, in other words, Friday afternoon was really still not your Shabbos and all, you're off the hook. But then you get on the hook again the next day. Avachroinim yoyim, so to the next day, it's daytime when you have the two stars. V'yitzarev shel shachris im shemotzoi Shabbos, and the stars of the morning will be mitzarev. I'm sorry, not the stars. And the work of the morning will be mitzarev with the work of motzoi Shabbos. V'yachayev alachroinim, and a chayev on the last two phrases of work, in other words, in the harvesting in the morning of Shabbos and the harvesting later that evening, which was still your daytime, and therefore is done on Shabbos. Im achroinim laila, if on the other hand the stars that you saw of Saturday night are motzei Shabbos stars, afrishroinim laila, so too the stars which you saw on erev Shabbos are also night stars. So it's true, you're potter on the stuff you did Saturday night, because that was already after Shabbos. But yitzdarev shel shachris, that which you did in the morning is mitzdarev, joins together im shel leil Shabbos with that which you did the evening before. Yechayev al rishonim, and you're chayev on last night's. So we're assuming it was done by Heli Machas, that's right. And in other words, here we can't be talking about Skila. Because if we're talking about Skila, then they're giving you Asra each time. If you get Asra each time, the Asra divides up each Malacha from the other, and therefore you cannot join together a date Friday night with a date Shabbos morning. But you're talking about we forgot the entire time that it was Shabbos, or forgot the entire time that Katsir was forbidden. That was Heli Machas, the whole thing was done in one fell swoop of forgetfulness, and therefore they can be Mitzdarif.
I assume the shear of that Katsir has got to be a complete progress.
Yes.
So, but here you have a hefsek between each of the acts.
Right, the hefsek doesn't matter. That's what Dr. Patel was alluding to.
Right, I understand.
Yeah.
But I don't fully understand. It may be one hell, maybe hell in Achas, but you still have. Why are you being starved anyway?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about Shabbos. The Melechus Machsheves Asa Torah means that as long as we can join together your Machsheves, right? Even if physically they're separate. In other words, Heli Machas means we define a Melacha as one period of awareness or one period of forgetfulness, regardless of the time span between them. Time interruption by Shabbos doesn't count. So therefore you can have Heli Machas from Friday night to Motzei Shabbos. It works. Okay, that's unique to Shabbos. You're right. Anything else, for instance, in Isuri Achila, right, that's because Ayis Kedei Achilas Pras. It's not because Ayis Kedei Achilas Pras. Then you don't transgress. Right? This is unique. Okay? So it says the Gemara, now, that which we said, again, the Yerushalmi is abruptly changes topics. Hada the Tamar, by the way, isn't it easy so far? Really, right? Okay. So smooth sailing. How did it say, man?
You don't have any Rashi tells us that you're showing me the worry about.
No, it's that's right. How did it say, man? I don't even know why it's a 4-year cycle. They can do it in 2 years. How did it say, man? How did it say, man? That which you said, Hada, again, Zosomeris, that which you said, that it's three stars, Be'ilain, the Lace Urchosa, Mishamia, Be'imama. It's those stars that you can't see during the day. In other words, I think Sirius is a star you can see during the day. There's one star you can see, it's the North Star. Which one is Polaris? Which one is that? What? Polaris. That doesn't count. It's not one of the three. It can't be any star which you can see during the day. The three stars, I tell you about three stars which come out only after nightfall. Even then, the first star is Vadayom, right? But it's the stars start with the stars you see only after nightfall. It's talking about those stars which cannot be seen during the day. Beram, however, be Elaine, However, with those stars whose little choson means their pathways, mischamia can be seen during the day. Lo misharinim ba'on, we don't count them. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yossi Bar Bun. Rabbi Yossi Bar Bun said, "Ubilvah b'Rabbi Bun, ubilchur is like Hebrew ubilvah. As long as the yischamun, you will see klasa kochvaya, three stars bar minhah the kochavta. Besides that one, which can be seen during the third daytime. So." Again, it sounds Pnei Moshe tries to explain why he's not redundant, but he is. He is saying the same thing over again. Perhaps he's adding some little nuance, but he's basically saying the same Allah. Okay, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov de Romno, Rabbi Yaakov of the South, Bishem Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, Sen Yehuda ben Pazi, Kochav Echad Vadayo, one star is definitely day. Shnayim Selayla, and two stars is night. So says more. Wait a minute, what's going on here? The Leisle Sofek, doesn't he have any bit of Sofek at all? We know Ben Ashmashos is a Sofek. Where's his Ben Ashmashos? Where's his twilight? Says more. No, he's got a Sofek too. Eastle Sofek. You know what his Sofek is? His Sofek is Ben Koichov L'Koichov. Between the first star and the second star, that is Ben Hashmashos. Now I want you to know something, which is really a prelude also to what we'll see on Monday. In the Yerushalmi, in our sugi, which we're seeing now, Ben Hashmashos is not Ben Hashmashos, which we call Ben Hashmashos today. Ben Hashmashos today is like 40 minutes, and if you're a Ben Utam, 72, 90, who knows, right? In the Yerushalmi, it's very short. The truth is that in the Middle East, it gets much darker much quicker. But even regardless of that, it seems that their area of Suffolk was much, much more narrow bandwidth than our area of Suffolk. So therefore, the Ushami is telling us that here, Rahim and Pazi's entire area time of Suffolk, the twilight zone, which he's mesupik about, is the time between the first star and the second star. That's it. Okay? Once you have the second star, again, of those nighttime stars, that's already considered to be definite night. Tani, we learned. Kozman. Shabnei Mizrach Madimim. As long as there's redness in the eastern sky, which is the eastern sky, not where the sun sets, but rather the opposite sky. The sun sets in the west, right? So as long as the eastern sky is red, it's day. You understand what's going on here? As long as the rays of the sun are still hitting the eastern sky, that's still considered to be daytime. Okay? Yeah, purplish is probably more what we're talking about. So a deep blue, something like that. That's daytime. When they get darker, that's twilight. When they get black, in other words, the eastern sky gets black, and night is equal to the sky in the east, and they're both equally dark, that's nighttime. There's another simon other than Seisel Kochavim. There's a way to see, and that's why I mentioned before, Seisel Kochavim is a simon, right? Here you have another simon. Now, this is what I mentioned, so what are Brisker's hold? Who make, you know, says astronomically late. So they hold that the Elyon and Tachton are not the eastern sky and the sky overhead, but rather the western sky and the sky overhead. And it takes, of course, much longer to get dark in the west than in the east. So therefore, by them, even after you see a gazillion stars, it's still not Seis until it's totally dark in the west. And that makes sense. You say Seis Kochavim is just a simon, and this is another simon, so then, this is a simon which you have to be worried about. Perhaps it's not the simon of Seis, which you can lie definitively. Even if you see millions and millions of stars in the heaven, you have to wait till on the western sky It's completely red, completely dark.
So where do they learn the Western Scott if the Gemara says Eastern Scott?
Or is ambiguous? The Gemara, in this case of Yichsifu, doesn't say what it doesn't say what Elyon and Tachton is. It doesn't say, just says Elyon and Tachton. It doesn't say Mizrach and Maariv. I touched it for you. Elyon and Tachton means the Western sky and the upper sky. But who says? Right? That could be just a bias. Rabbi Yoimer. Rabbi says, Halavana b'tzkufasa. The way to determine when night is to take the moon at its season. Now, at its season means on the 15th day of the month. So the moon is full. But here it really means, I think also, a different vort of season. What it means is that there's a time which happens, not very often, where it can only happen on the 15th day of the month, but there are times which happen when the moon is due to the elevation of the earth and not the elevation of the earth, but at the angle at which the earth, the moon, and the sun approach each other. So then there are times when the moon is directly opposite the sun. Now this is true every 15th of the month. It's just that normally the moon is on an angle. In other words, the sun is down here, the moon is up here, the earth is in the middle, right? And therefore the sun's rays reflect up to the moon, and those then the moon reflects down to earth. That's normally the case. However, in the case, say, of a lunar eclipse, from the perspective of somebody in the planet, there is no light because of the angle, how the alignment is at that time. There is no light going from the sun and hitting the moon. Again, from the perspective of that guy, whoever's there. That's why a lunar eclipse can only occur on the 15th of the month. No. Only on the 15th of a month, when the earth is between the sun and the moon. A solar eclipse can only occur on Rosh Chodesh, right? Because only in Rosh Chodesh do we have the moon between the sun and the earth. Right? Lunar eclipse in 2 weeks? Can't. What? It has to be around the 15th of the. It has to be around Purim. Yeah, it has to be just around Purim. Okay, fine. So, in any event, so says the Rebbe, you know, Halavana b'tkufasa, when the moon is directly opposite the sun and 180 degrees separate the two of them, and the earth is in the middle, Hischo Gago Chama Lishakea, when the sun starts going down, Utchilas Galgal, literally Galgal Chama means the orb of the sun, Utchilas Galgal Levona Lalos, and the orb of the moon starts rising, Zo Bein Hashmashos, that is Bein Hashmashos. That's twilight. In other words, when they're in that state, that the sun is going just beneath the rise and the moon is just coming up. Now, this is not always true. Again, I want to stress that because sometimes you can see the moon in the middle of the day. Because it depends on how the angles are aligned, and I'm not an astronomer. You know, there's a Yushalmi and Brochus with a Perush from Rabbi Goren, Rabbi Shlomo Goren. And he knew his astronomy. He was on for pages and pages about it. Ich bin nicht kein astronomer, I don't know. All I can tell you is that it's talking about a case where there is the sun is on one side, the earth is in the middle, the moon is on the other side. When the sun starts rising and the sun starts going down and the moon starts rising, in times when that's configured properly, that's called Bein Hashmashos. Now, Rabbi Chanina qualifies. Sof Galgal Chama L'Shakea, it means when the end of the moon, the sun starts setting, and Chilas Galgal Levana Lalos, and this moon, the beginning of the moon starts rising. That is important. When this takes about 4 minutes for the sun to set. Takes about 4 minutes. So that time is still daytime. That's what it's qualifying. When does Bein Hashmashos begin? Not when the big sun begins to set, no. Because there's still 4 minutes when the sun goes, until the sun goes beneath the horizon completely. That time is not yet Bein HaShemashos. When is it Bein HaShemashos? Only after the sun has completely set beneath the horizon. And also the same thing about the moon. When Tchilas Galgal Levana Lalos, again in that configuration where everything is ideally aligned, when the moon begins to rise at that time, that's considered to be Bein HaShemashos. V'tani Shmuel. Now Shmuel says an amazing cryptic statement. Shmuel says, Tani Shmuel Kain, Shmuel tells it like this. Kain means the following thing. Ein alvonas arachas b'shosh al-chama shokas. The moon does not shine when the sun sets, v'lo shokas, nor does it set b'shosh al-chama zorachas when the sun shines. Which makes no sense, right?
Right.
So the Grua changes it, but the Grua doesn't help very much. The Grua changes it, he changes it to... You don't have the Grua in the back, but I do. See if I can find it quickly. I don't see the Grua, but he says that the Grua changes the gear. So I saw it in Rabbi Gorin's Yerushalmi. He says that the Ein Alvana Shokas, Ein Alvana Zorachas, B'Shoah Shachama Zorachas. The sun. The moon doesn't shine.
I know.
The moon doesn't shine when the sun shines. Nor does the moon set nor is the moon down when the sun is down. I must be saying it wrong then also.
Maybe it just means that the rising of two shall come together and the setting of the two shall come.
It's possible. Whatever you say will help us. Maybe it means that the rising doesn't occur together, the setting doesn't occur together. It's very cryptic, Gemara. But I'll tell you how Rabbi Gorin explains it. It's a fascinating way of explaining it, which I don't think is pshat. It'd be pretty amazing if it is pshat. He says that... Rishmol knew the secret of refraction. You know, when the sun goes beneath the horizon, when the sun actually is visible for 2 minutes after it's beneath the horizon, because the atmosphere bends the rays of the sun. And when it bends the rays of the sun, you can see the sun's rays, even though they're no longer really there. Okay, the sun astronomically is set, but you still have 1.8 or 2 minutes that you can still see it. So he says, what Shmuel is trying to tell us is that you might see the sun and moon at the same time. Again, in this configuration, and then the 15th day of the month, when the sun is exactly opposite the moon. He says, you might see the sun and the moon at the same time. Because the sun, but you should know it's an optical illusion. That's what he's telling us. That's an optical illusion. That which the sun is illuminating the moon is not because they're both in the sky at the same time, but rather because the atmosphere is bending the rays of the sun, and therefore the moon is being... It's as if you're seeing the sun at the same time you're seeing the moon, but really the sun is already set. So that's how he tightens it up. I'm not sure, again, I don't remember the exact years of which the Grua brings down. Maybe it works in like this also. The Tani Shmuel Kain, Ein Alavona Zorachas, the sun does not shine. Kain Alavona Zorachas, B'Shoah Shachama Shokas, the moon is not up when the sun is setting. In other words, only comes up completely after the sun, only comes up after the sun is setting. Hi, you see it? It's not. As long as the sun is setting, the moon is not up. high, you see the sun and moon at the same time. You're seeing the rays being refracted. You're not seeing the sun itself. And the same thing in the morning, I guess, or wherever the moon sets, that it's not going to, even though you see both at the same time, again, it's just refraction of rays of the moonlight through the atmosphere. It's not the actual moon itself.
It's only the 15th?
It's only the 15th, when they're totally opposite each other. When there could be 180 degrees between the moon and the sun. So if you see both at the same time, you're not really seeing both at the same time. You're just seeing refraction of light through the atmosphere. All right, Rabbi Isai, we actually learned the first two blot of Yerushalmi tonight, a little bit more than that even, and that's enough for this evening. I would like to ask that if you have any friends, relatives, acquaintances who be interested, it's all on tape, so, and Will and Mirza Shem will be on tape, and the more people we get, the greater chizuk it is for all of us, and I hope that you all come back as well, and that we can continue to have the Torah L'Adir.